Precious is the fellowship of family. Amen. I know that the holidays have just went by, and I'm trusting that everybody pretty well enjoyed being with family. I don't like my family, so I hope you did. I'm totally kidding. My wife looked straight up and like, what? But anyway, nothing like the fellowship of family. Does that make sense? Even if there are some obstacles in the way, and even though there may be some strife, and even though there may be a little confusion or some bumps and bruises, no matter what, family is family. Isn't that right? And it is always great, and precious is the fellowship of family. When we talk about family today, I want us to bring it on back to the Lord's church. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, down in verse 18, Jesus said to Peter upon that confession, I say to you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build what? My church, and the gates of hell or the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus is making it very clear to Peter that I'm going to build my church on this solid foundation. And even though death is going to happen, the gates of hell or the gates of Hades, even though Jesus himself is going to physically die and ascend upon high, Jesus is making sure that you and I both know and that Peter knew that his church will always stand. Isn't that about right? We often hear people talk about, you know, the church of the Lord is in trouble today. No, it's not. The church, some of the people in the Lord's church today is in trouble. The Lord's church is built upon a solid foundation, brothers and sisters, and precious is the fellowship of those believers. Amen. Do you agree with that? So I want you to go with me today in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. In the book of 1 John, chapter 1, down in verse 7, we see where the Bible says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, does what? From how much of our sin? Good job, Courtney. All of our sin. So precious indeed is the fellowship. I want to bring it to light this morning, if I can, about the fellowship that we have with Jesus Christ, the fellowship that we have with one another. I think about what the scripture says over in the book of 1 Corinthians, if you'd like to go there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 30 through 31. And I want us to see what was going on there and how we can recognize that precious is indeed the fellowship of those who have been sanctified. That word sanctified means set apart, doesn't it? It means that we as Christians have been sanctified. We've been set apart from the world. That doesn't mean that we're better than people in the world. That just means as a Christian, we're kind of better off than some of the people that are still in and of the world. But when we see, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 30 through 31, God's word says, but of him you are in who? Who became, watch this, for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification, and watch this, and what? Redemption. So we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? We have been bought. We have been paid for by Jesus Christ himself. We've been redeemed. Now watch 31. That as it is written. You know what? When the Bible says, as it is written, Brother Larry, that means God saying, I told you so. Does that make sense? God is reiterating. He's making it very clear. I've told you that. Take it to your financial bank. Is that what he's saying? Absolutely. Now look at this. As it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So let everything that we do be about Jesus Christ. Let everything that we do be about our relationship with God. Let everything that we say, let our actions and our reactions glorify God. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, down in verse 16, what does the Bible say? Let your light so shine before that they may see your glorifying your which is in heaven. And then over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Giving thanks to him. Some of you may be looking over my right shoulder saying, Jerry, you're throwing passages out that we don't have written up there. That's right, because I want to see your reaction, and you're doing pretty well. All right, so precious is the fellowship of those individuals who's been washed in the very blood of Jesus Christ and have been baptized not just into a denomination, not to into a group of people only, but we are baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Is that what the Bible tells us to do? Absolutely. Precious is that fellowship. It's pretty obvious today that as adults, people want to be involved in something. You know, there are people today, Brother Larry, that will pay money to be part of maybe the Jeep, J-E-E-P club. You know, if you drive a Jeep, then you can be part of this club. Then there's other clubs out there that maybe you're a Harley Davidson rider, and, you know, there are people who pay an annual fee to be part of this little group. Jerry, you're in on motorcycles, aren't you? You still have a Harley Davidson? until the police got a hold to him, and then all that changed because he was driving like a maniac. I'd never punk him out, but, you know, doing 90 and a 30 probably wasn't real promising, was it, Jerry? But I would never say that publicly. Anyway, but there are groups that people pay. Anybody ever heard of Belmead Country Club? Okay. How many members are at Belmead Country Club? Velma's lying all the way around. That's all there is to it. Velma's like me. She had to mortgage the house, pay 1 month's premium there. But there... Oh, you cleaned it. Well, there you go. I delivered salt for the water softener years ago, so that's as close as I ever got. But there are people that will pay a premium to be part of that. Did you know that? There are people that will pay fees to be part of maybe a health club or something. But the point is, people do want, as a general rule, we want to belong to something, don't we? Or somewhere, and people will pay premiums for that. I tell you what I long for is to be part of that place called heaven. I want to be part of that precious fellowship up on that day when the Lord looks at me and says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Sadly, for many of our friends today, many people that you know and I know, sadly, they're going to hear those words, depart from me, for I never knew you. You know, and there's going to be some judgment day surprises, and that saddens me, that I may have some in my family, that I may have some people that I work with, that I've got some people that I may know that's even perhaps thinking that they're a member of the body of Christ. But on judgment day, that's when we're going to be ruled, isn't it? That's when we're going to be judged. And how are we going to be judged? By His what? By His word. Not what I may think. Not what the leaders of the congregation may think. But we're going to be judged by the holy, divine word of Almighty God. So precious is the fellowship for those that are Christians today. Let me give you three short points, three things that we can consider as we talk about how precious the fellowship really is. The first point I want us to examine is this. Precious is the fellowship of those whose home is in heaven. Would that make sense? Precious is the fellowship of those whose home is being prepared in heaven. I don't know if my English came out right there or not, but you get the point, don't you? We're striving and we're aiming for where? Heaven. That's where we're wanting to go. If you're not wanting to go there today, I hope that you'll stay after service and you and I perhaps have a conversation. Let's see how much God loves you and me and how there's a place that's being prepared. Brothers and sisters, I want and desire to be a citizen of that beautiful prepared place for prepared people. It's a place that you and I have been told in the Bible, and it is called heaven. I want to be a citizen of the place where Jesus Christ Himself, the Son of living God, now resides and sits at the right hand of the Father. That's where I want to be. How many people want to go there? Confirm it with an amen. Amen. You know, that's where we should have a desire. You know, there are people that have desires to go different places throughout the world. Man, there's nothing wrong with that. Having a desire to see, you know, the whole wide world, that's all right. But your chief desire today should be that of wanting to, longing for and wanting and desiring to be with God in the heavenly host and live there for eternity. Does that make sense? And we've said it before. Let me remind all of us, and I hear these old preachers talk about that. That's where I want to spend eternity. You know as well as I do, you can't spend eternity because eternity is forever. Amen? I can spend a dollar. Chris gives me $2 at the restaurant. He left it on the table for a tip, but I took it because I didn't like the waitress. I'm just kidding, Chris. I only took one of them. And so anyway, I can spend that dollar, can't I, Chris? But I can't spend eternity. I'm going to be there forever and ever and ever. Well, I choose heaven. Do you choose heaven? Say it with me. I choose heaven. Very good. In the book of John chapter 8, down in verse 31, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that I believe will help us. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, then you are My what? You are My disciples, Bobby, indeed. That means, that word disciple means student of God. It means follower, doesn't it? Are we okay with that? We call disciples today Christians. We saw that in the book of Acts chapter 11, down around verse 26, that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. You remember that? Not Antioch, Tennessee, but Antioch. So when we think about that, we need to strive to be and hold to His word so we can be those disciples. In the book of John, chapter 14, down in verse 2, the Bible says, in My Father's house are many what? If it were not so, Jesus says, I would have told you. And matter of fact, He says, I go to do what? To prepare a place for you. Can you imagine, Darlene, how great this place is going to be? Because this is Jesus. This is God preparing a place for His faithful followers. Bobby, I long for that place. You know, I love my family. I love my church family. I love what the Lord's blessed us with, but it is nothing, brothers and sisters, compared to what God's blessed us with in that place called heaven. Amen? So it should be your longing, full, chief desire to go to that beautiful place. Precious is the fellowship of those that are in heaven and will go there. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I'd have told you. And again, Jesus said, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. In order for you and me to have that home in heaven that we're reading about, you and I, we've got to be sure that we have responded. And if you haven't, you must respond to that great invitation of Jesus Christ to come and sup with Christ. Amen? To come and live with Almighty God. I think about what Paul told the church at Corinth when some of these individuals were talking about. Perhaps you remember that. Some said there was some contention there. You remember that? And some people said, well, I'm a follower of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I think the other ones, I'm Cephas, and I'm just going to do this, and I think I'll do the right, do that. Paul doesn't play that stuff, does he? That great preacher, that great apostle of the Lord says, no, you better be of God. Let's just take a look and see what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians 1. Is that what we're looking at, 1 Corinthians 1? And we're going to look at verses what? All right, y'all ready? The Bible says God is what? All right, good. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the, give me the next word, of his Son, Jesus Christ, our what? That word Lord means? Very good. You didn't say it like you meant. The word Lord means master. Very good. Now go with me to number 10. Now I plead with you. Now, whoa, this is Paul talking to the church. Do you agree with that? He's talking to the brethren of Corinth. What does that tell us? Darlene, it tells you, me, and Jared that there's a little contention going on, that there's a little bit of strife, if I may, and we better clear it up. I plead, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing and that there be how much divisions among you, but that you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same what? How can we have the same mind in judgment today? We can go by the same book, amen? We go by the almighty word of God. We go by what he says, the holy oracles of Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can be of the same rule, amen? Number 11, for it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren. Did you notice how he said that? He's reminding them, isn't he? You know, many times we look over that part. Let's look at it again. For it has been declared to me. That means somebody's told him. It's pretty clear. It's not hidden at all. Concerning you, and watch what he says, my brethren. I love the way Paul reminds them that you are members of the body of Christ. I like the way he reminds him, says, you're a member of the church. When he says, my brethren, isn't that what he says? By those of Chloe's household, that there are, oh, there it is, contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Verse 13. The answer to that is no, absolutely not. And then Paul, watch what he does. Was Paul crucified for you? No. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? That's a great big old no. We're baptized in the name of? Very good, Chris. Very good. We're baptized in the name of Jesus. Listen, only those that are in fellowship with Jesus Christ will make it to that place called heaven. In the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6, I want you to say that with me. Are y'all ready? How does it start out? I forgot. I am the truth. No man except through. Well, that was a disaster. So we're going to do that again. So John, chapter 14, verse 6, are you ready? Go with me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. So precious is the fellowship whose home is in heaven. Amen? The second point we're going to examine today is this. Precious is the fellowship of those who worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That may to you right now sound a little elementary. Jerry, we know that we are to worship in spirit and in truth. Oh, really? Do we really know that? Yes, we know that. Then why are we not doing it like we should all the time? Amen? Our worship is more than just right here in this building. We should be worshiping God every single day. Does that make sense? And that doesn't mean that we're partaking of the Lord's Supper every day, because the Bible says in Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week, we're not giving monetary contributions back to the Lord every day of the week. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:2 to give back upon that first day. Where there's a lot of things that we don't do. We're not singing, making melody in our heart right here in this building every day of the week. Nothing wrong with going out singing in your vehicle if you want to. If I sing in public, I'll probably be arrested. But the reality is nothing wrong with that. Amen? But the Bible tells us how we are to worship here and how we are to worship the Lord. We have all considered the passage of Scripture found in the book of John, chapter 4, down in verse 24, where the Bible says, God is a, and those who worship Him, give me the next word, must, that's it, make sure we say that, must worship in spirit. And then we also have to consider Hebrews chapter 10, down in verse 25. With all those friends that I have that always come out with the same thing, saying, well, I know I don't have to be there, I can worship the Lord in my backyard, or I can do it in my living room. Sure you can. Sure you can. Well, I don't have to do that. I can go out back and I can do this. I can do that. Sure you can. Nowhere does the Bible limit that. You can worship God and praise God everywhere you want. But how are you going to answer to Hebrews 10, 25? The Bible says, not forsaking the what? Assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. You see how the Hebrew writer put that out? As is the manner of some. But exhorting one another so much more as you see what? Are y'all not there in Hebrews 10, 25? And so much more as you what? There you go. I sounded much better. Courtney knows what happens if we don't get together. Courtney's like, he will go to 11:30, I promise. And so now we're back to 11:25. If y'all would cooperate, we'll get out here early. If not, we're probably going to get out early because I'm hungry anyway. Unlike Chris and Courtney now, they're like this big. But anyway, I'll let that go. The reality, Hebrews 10, 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I said that passage very quickly, but I want us to understand the seriousness of that passage. If we love our brethren, do we? Four people said, yeah. Wow, I hope I'm one of those that you love. Do we love our brethren? All right, if we really love our brethren and we know that there are people that's not assembling at every opportunity, we don't have to call and hound them and beat them to death, but call and share some love. Amen? Find out, because they may be sick. They may have some difficulties, and they may need some prayers, et cetera, et cetera. That's what we should be doing, and that's where that exhorting and lifting each other up. I believe that this part of exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching, I can tell you, seriously speaking, that is an extremely vital part, extremely important, and a vital part of our worship service. Because there are times when I walk in the door, and man, I'm just telling you point blank, I don't even feel like being here. Has that ever happened to anybody else except me? Yeah, thanks. Yeah, just throw the preacher out there. But there have, oh, now we got one telling the truth, so the rest of you, I don't know where y'all going. But there's been times, seriously, I love the Lord's church, and I love the Bible, and I love God, and I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. But maybe Paul and I got in an argument that morning, and I didn't feel like coming. Has that ever happened to anybody? God, y'all throwing me way out there. Anyway, but that's all right. At least I'm telling the truth. And there's times that I'll not feel good all the way here. I'll walk through the door, and then some people start encouraging, and within just a few minutes, everything's okay. Has that ever happened to you? Oh, look at all these liars coming out now. So the reality is, we know that there's times that we may not. Have you ever got up on a Sunday morning and not felt like going to church? This isn't a Baptist convention. I mean, I'm just asking. Have you ever felt like not going? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but sometimes maybe you've lost your energy. Maybe you feel like the zeal's been quenched a little bit. Always remember, that's where the exhorting comes from. That's when you come in. I promise you, get here anyway, because we will lift you up. We will exhort you, and we'll try to treat you every way, in a bunch of ways, and maybe you'll like one of them. I'm not sure. Is that okay with everybody? All right, so worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I'm excited to come to our worship and to worship our Heavenly Father. I'm thrilled, and I hope that you're thrilled to be able to go to God and to go to Him in prayer like the Bible allows us to. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, down in verse 6, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything but prayer, or with prayer and supplication, with what? Let your requests be known unto who? Let your requests be known to God. Isn't that a great privilege that we have as Christians to be able to go to Him in prayer? And then John chapter 9, verse 31 is a passage of controversy. Because some people don't want to believe this. The Bible says in John 9, 31, now we know that God does not hear who? But then you'd have people say, well, wait a minute, then why is he used to praying? It's not what he's talking about, because we're all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3, 23, isn't that right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But when we look at this passage of Scripture, now we know that God does not hear sinners. Well, if I stopped it right there, or you stopped it right there, it sounds like we're doomed, doesn't it? Okay, but you got to keep going. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, the Bible says he what? He hears them, or he hears him. Oh, yes, precious is the fellowship of those that are in Christ Jesus. So isn't it nice when it comes to our worship service that we can meet together and break bread and remember the great sacrifice that Jesus gave when he took your sin, my sin, your guilt, my guilt, and he carried it to the cross? And as we see in Acts 20, verse 7, isn't that pretty awesome? All right, isn't it nice that we can also come together upon this first day of the week? We can raise up our voices in song, singing to the Lord, teaching one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs like the Bible tells us over in the book of Colossians. But isn't it nice that we can fulfill Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 19, sing and make melody in your hearts. So that's where it needs to come from. I don't need a banjo, don't need a drum set, don't need pianos, don't need electric guitar, and don't need disco lights. That's not what the Bible says. You do what you want to do. I'm good grammar here, Courtney and Chris. I ain't doing it, okay? I ain't doing it. That's more Woodbine good grammar talk. I want to hold to what the Bible says. Now, you can go out and do anything you want to do. That's between you and the Lord. But right here, there ain't no room for that. I love that grammar. I'm getting better. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says to give back to the Lord as we have been what? Prospered. Is there a tenth? Are we supposed to give 10%? If you want to, right? If that's what you've been prospered. But nowhere in the Bible, on the New Testament Bible, does it say you've got to give this amount of money back, does it, Brother Larry? But what we do see, Bobby, is that we are to give as we have been what? Prospered. You know, I've been blessed in this congregation. I've never had to preach a lesson on contribution. Not one single time. Not that it's not important, but we don't have to do that here. This congregation gives back as they've been prospered. Good for us, right? So I got some people pouting on this corner, like, yeah, whatever. Isn't that a blessing? Amen? All right, that's better. Whew, Lord help them. And so preaching is also commanded. Now, boy, this is where it gets us all. Preaching is commanded, not just preaching, but preaching Jesus and him crucified. That's what we need to be talking about. We need to be preaching Jesus and him crucified, and we need to be preaching the oracles of God and not the tradition of man. Do you agree with that? But sadly, in the churches today, there's a lot of man-made doctrine and the tradition of man. I love what Paul told Timothy, that young preacher boy that was getting started over in 2 Timothy 4:2. He said, preach the what? Be ready in season. He said, be ready out of season. Is that what he said? He says, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and what? All right, so folks, listen to me. The church today, and the people on the outside of the church today, they need sound gospel preachers, amen, that will preach the holy oracles of Almighty God. You don't need me to come up here and tell you what my ideas are, because my ideas will send you to hell and send my own soul to hell. What you need me to do is to come up here and to search the scriptures, to rightly divide it, and to tell you what this means. And then your job is to go home to investigate me, because I teach, amen? Your job is to go, let me go see what Jerry's talking about. Let's see if that lines up. Not giving you an opportunity to come and beat me up, but it gives you an opportunity to come and say, hey, Jerry, I think that could have been out of line, could have been out of context a little bit. You know how many times I've been helped like that? You know, I cut up with Stephen quite often, and we do it almost every Wednesday night. I mean, we cut up about that. But I've never forgot it, neither Stephen. And I was going on in this book of Psalms about this is David, this is Jesus. And I mean, I was seriously speaking, going right at it. And then Stephen, in the nicest way, said, I don't believe that's who that is. I said, well, yes, it is. And he proved to me real quick I was totally wrong. And then, that's the first time I've ever mentioned that. Wow, that hurt. And then the other was everybody knows about this, when I preached on Moses' ark, not Noah's ark. And never got it corrected till the very end when I was offering an invitation and the elders was looking at me like, okay, I don't know if he was trying to pull something, get our attention, but they was like wanting me to conclude, but then it dawned on me after they said something that they didn't know that Moses had built an ark. And I said, I didn't either. And they said, you said it 26 times. Okay, so the point is we got to do the right way. Isn't that right? Preach a word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, long-suffering, teaching. Help me to help others. Is that okay? Help me to help you. When I come up here and God allows me to preach and you allow me to preach at this congregation, you're teaching me, I promise you, just as much. Precious is the fellowship of those that come together to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The third and final point, this lesson will go home with you. Here's your third. Precious is not, now watch this, precious is not the fellowship of those that are still faithful to the world. Does that make sense? Precious is not the fellowship of those that are still heavily involved in the world. Friends, we all need to remember that there is a fellowship with Satan as well. Did you know that? There's fellowship with God, and then there's also a fellowship with Satan. You've got to choose. So let's be sure that we are not fellowshipping with the unfaithful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, rebuke those things, reject those things, get away from those things. I like what the scripture says over in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, down in verse 11, where the Bible says, and have how much fellowship? I don't know that you're with me on that. Let's go back. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, the Bible says, and have no fellowship, watch this, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather your job is to do what, Teresa? Thank you. Your job is to expose them. That doesn't mean that we are to have a carnival atmosphere about somebody's error. That's not what the Bible is saying. But we need to expose the wrong, don't we? So if a teacher or a preacher or someone comes in here teaching things contrary to the will of God, then we need to expose that, don't we? And that would begin by not coming up publicly and saying, you're not going to believe what Ethan just did. We're going to go to Ethan first, aren't we, Ethan? Look at Ethan, like, frowning. So we had to get his attention there. And so anyway, we're not going to do that, but we're going to go to Ethan first and then give Ethan an opportunity to correct it. Isn't that right? But we have to expose each other to help each other out. That's what this fellowship is about. Are y'all in agreement? You need to be very careful, and so do I. I'm preaching to Jerry T. this morning. You remember James chapter 4? Anybody ever heard of that passage? Anybody ever heard of it? James chapter 4, verse 4. Anybody ever heard of that? Two people have heard of the book of James. Wow. Who did that? Wonder who did that one. Oh, I probably did. Okay. James chapter 4, verse 4. Is that what I did? I put John on there when I sent it to you. Oh, well. Preacher's made one more mistake. And let me give it to you. James, in the book of James, is that in the New Testament or the Old? All right. James chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that what? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a, watch this, friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of who? Of God. So if you want to join hands with the devil, the Lord says that's up to you. But the Lord is also saying, I sent my son to die for you. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. If not, you have an opportunity to be. I've paved the way for your salvation. But if you want to hang out with the devil, then that's what you're doing. You're creating yourself an enemy of mine. Please don't overlook 1 John either. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. In that passage of Scripture, we're told very clearly not to be involved or heavily involved in the world. Are y'all ready for 1 John 2, 15 through 17? The Bible, go with me. The Bible says, do not love the world or the... If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Go to 16. For all that is in the world, tell me what's in the world. What else? What else? But that is not of the Father, but it is of, come on. Well, then don't stop. Let's go to 17. Guess what's happening to the world? What else? But he who does what? Well, how long is that going to last? So the Bible says this is going to last forever. He who does the will of God, he who lives according to the oracles of Almighty God. Does anybody remember 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33? Be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good what? Habits. Of one says morals, as another translation says. So precious is not the fellowship of the followers of Satan. Amen. Precious is not the fellowship of those that are in fellowship with the world. I think about what Jesus said as he was teaching his disciples there on the Sermon on the Mount. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, down in verse 4. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. The Bible says, no one, now look at this, no one but no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and what? Or else he'll be loyal to the one and... Watch what Jesus says. You cannot serve both God. So can you do it? Absolutely not. Can you try it? Oh, you can try it. But will you fail? Yeah, you're going to fail. And then let's head over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. I want you to look at verses 1 and 2 with me. Romans 12, 1 and 2. The scripture says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. I love this next part, which is your reasonable service. You can do this. That's what the Bible's saying. It's reasonable, you can achieve it, and it's required. Amen? Do y'all in agreement or not? Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What I get out of that is what I find in Luke 13, 3 and 5. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise. Very good. So this morning, precious is the fellowship of those that have the right relationship with God. Amen. Precious is the fellowship for those that put Jesus Christ first and foremost in their lives. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye the kingdom of God and His, and all these things shall be added unto you. Precious is the fellowship of those that have heard the gospel preached and responded to God's invitation, making a confession, being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Precious is the fellowship of those that are obedient unto God's call, obedient to His holy divine word. Precious is the fellowship to those that will be obedient unto and into their death. But sadly, those that today that are trying to split off, those today that are trying to follow the world and Jesus Christ, we've already looked at a passage a while ago that says you can't serve two. Isn't that right? And if you're trying to do that, you will, I promise you, according to the Bible, you will end up one or two places. Matthew 25, verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Listen, I want my fellowship, and I hope and pray that you desire that same fellowship to be in heaven with God and the heavenly host, and to be with those that have went on before us, those faithful Christians, those that prepared the way for you and me. Oh, how I long to be there with the Apostle Paul. Oh, how I long to see my mom, my dad, my family that has went on, my faithful family. And I know that you do as well. Can you imagine how great that reunion's going to be when we get to that place called heaven? Okay. Yeah, Jerry. How great it's going to be. I hope that you're going to be excited about it because that day is coming. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, read that later. Take a look at that. It's going to give you a list, but not limited to that list, those that's going to be in this place called hell. I don't want to be there with them. Do you? You know, we have to deal with a lot of those kind of people in this world every single day. But I don't want to reside for eternity with people that was against God. I know what Jesus has done. I know what God has done. God demonstrated His own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, finished it up. Thank you. Thank you, actually. Christ died for us. Go with me up here and here. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Okay. So how great is your fellowship? Today, looking at your own life, looking at your situation, looking at your walk, looking and examining yourself only, where are you in the light of the Scriptures? Are things right in your relationship with God? Are you in a good, solid relationship with Him? Are you fellowshipping with God? Are you in fellowship with the brothers and sisters in Christ? Are we attending as much as we possibly can so that we can grow and help others grow? Because this Christian life is not just about you, amen? Because we are also indeed our what? Our brother's keeper. Very good. So if we're in this for ourselves only, and maybe there's been a problem in your birthing process, and we need to revisit that. Today, if you're not a Christian, I've already told you how to do it. You hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that right? Be faithful unto and into your death, and always remember that we are indeed. Okay, and then continue to hear the word of God, because the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So today, if you're not a Christian, keep hearing the word of God. Maybe it'll create, we're hoping and praying it'll create a desire for you to put God on in your life. Maybe today you're already a Christian, you've already went through those steps, but you're looking for restoration. Maybe you know in your heart, I need to be restored. Man, I need the prayers of the congregation. I need that help. to get me back on track. I've said it many times before you. I'm not proud of the things that I've said and done, but I'll stand before you today as I stand in the presence of Almighty God. I hope you'll pray for me continually. I want, and I'll say it, and I'm so proud to be able to say it in front of God, I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better servant of Almighty God. Is anything wrong with that? You know, so if you want to call me greedy spiritually, that's a compliment. I really appreciate it. But I hope that you'll pray for your preacher, will you? Yeah. Good. Six people said yeah. And in today, but maybe you're in a situation like I am, and maybe you realize, hey, I need the prayers of the congregation. Don't be ashamed to ask for them. This congregation is a good place, I promise you, and we'll do anything to help you. If you have any need at all, come right now. It's together.